Welcome back to NFL Rants and Raves. I'm Steven Miranda.
I'm Jeff Ellis, and it is Friday, August 19th, 2011.
Episode 7.08, Jeffrey. And this is a new episode where we are going to answer all of the listener questions.
We're
going to
do something that has never been done in the land of Rants and Raves in 393 episodes.
All of your questions that were asked on Facebook or Twitter today are going to get answered because basically this is the last podcast before we get down to the nitty-gritty as we assess all eight divisions in the NFL.
Divisional breakdowns begin on Monday, and we will start with the AFC East and North.
Yes, that's correct.
North is the actual...
North.
It's like the North division.
And then the South and West will finish it up.
And then the NFC will come the week after that. And then next thing you know, we're going to have football, baby.
Football,
we're going to have Steelers, Packers, Thursday night, September 8th.
Packers Saints
Super Bowl rematch.
In Green Bay.
In the frozen, warm tundra of Lambeau Field.
Will it be frozen at that time?
I suspect it'll be quite warm.
Yes, it will be.
The weather will be starting to change, though, up there in Green Bay. So we've got listener question show coming up for everybody right after this.
Bringing American football to the world, it's Steven Miranda and Jeff Ellis with NFL Rants and Raves.
All right, Jeffrey, right off the bat, I'm just going to answer this question. It's a question that was just asked today about today's five-minute football fix, Jeffrey. And the dude asks, what is the brown thing hanging behind Jeff by the D-wear jersey? It looks like a horse's head.
It is. As many people know, I am quite a film aficionado, and I got a little self-indulgent for my birthday, and my wife got me the prop from the Godfather film. It is the horse's head that when I'm going to make him a deal that he can't refuse, and he wakes up and finds his prestigious racing stallion dead in his bed next to him, it's that horse's head. About the smell.
Why are you lying about people? Why are you lying to people?
He said it would look like a horse's head.
Well, that's what he said. I'm just asking the question as it was written.
Yeah, it's a leather football helmet from the olden days.
It's an old-time leather football helmet a la Leatherheads. I thought that's where you were going when you were talking movies.
No, I'm a film aficionado.
With George Clooney.
I'm not a movie aficionado.
Yeah, there you go.
The fine line that is movies and films, and you know, what are you going to do? Steve and I disagree about this one all the time, so we're not even going to bother to bore you with it, but and there will be a character that will make an appearance on a five-minute football fix at some point.
Not if I can kill him first.
Where I will be donning the proud traditional leather helmet that makes me look like a human egg. Steven, it makes my head look like
egg. It makes you look like something. I don't know what it is yet.
And the character that will evolve from him will be quite interesting.
All right, Jeffrey, we're just going to get to – you know what? There's a news item, though, that nobody asked about because it just happened. Let's talk about that first.
Now, I haven't seen you necessarily cue for the breaking news or anything.
Well, the breaking news
is
the
Kansas
City Chiefs.
Are you going to cue it?
What? Yes.
Oh, he did. Yes. He just cued it. So in all fairness, somebody would have asked a question about this, but they didn't have the opportunity.
They didn't.
This comes from listener Rome Young from Jersey City, and he wants to know what happened there in Kansas City today at training camp. Well, Rome Young, let me tell you what happened. That's a made-up name because he has a Steve Young and a Vince. You have a Tony Romo and Vince Young jersey behind you.
Yes.
So that became Rome Young became the name.
Rome
Young. I just took your jerseys and combined them to make a name. Well, Nick Wright is on – he's got a radio show that is heard on 610 Kansas City, The Star. And he reported on his own radio show that Jonathan Baldwin, the rookie, was in a locker room brawl with Thomas Jones. And Wright reported that the wrist was broken of Nick Wright, Jonathan Baldwin, and he heard out 6 to 8 weeks.
I haven't heard 6 to 8 weeks yet. I do know that Baldwin has met with doctors to find out the severity of the injury. what I'm reading is that he's not expected to be sidelined and miss any regular season games, but he's probably out the rest of the preseason.
Well, and here's the deal. He had a reputation coming in to the draft.
Sure did. He was labeled as a diva with a bad attitude heading into the draft.
This diva with a bad attitude has been entitled Jackass by his teammates.
Wow.
And not surprisingly.
So you're a rookie. You come into camp with a title diva.
And attitude.
And you got a bad attitude. And now your teammates are calling you
Jackass.
Jackass. And that has nothing
and
to do with
the movie.
And it's
not the comedy movies that are so silly.
Wow.
So what it took was basically Thomas Jones, a coal miner's son, to take matters into his own hands and say, here's how daddy taught me to handle people like you. And
smack,
they got
smack.
Into it smack, smack, and yeah, he's going to be out for a while, and I suspect that there's a lot of Kansas City Chiefs players that aren't completely unhappy about this development.
Well, I'm sure they're not happy. I'm sure that the front office at
the front office is unhappy.
Coaching staff.
Todd Haley's probably unhappy about it, but as far as the team, usually this is one of those things that brings teams closer together when you handle your own business. You don't like when it gets out into the world. But you'd like to handle your own business. So, Rome Young, thanks so much for that great question.
Rome Young.
In fact, I would give him a,
just a good old boy.
Wait, he doesn't get a good old boy.
Never meaning no.
He didn't get arrested.
If anything, it's possible that Thomas Jones could get arrested for assault.
Yeah, if he hit his own. Well, I don't know. Did he hit
him?
How
do
you break a wrist fighting? Are
punching?
You fighting like a girl?
You're punching limp-wristedly. No. Not the flailing, slapping. No, but if you punch somebody and you're not cocked.
And you don't have it.
And you just, then you roll it. You roll your wrist.
I guess. I don't know.
I don't know this from experience.
Basically,
but, it seems
don't
like that.
Be.
And Stevens, just know everyone that if you really want to be a good old boy, you have to get arrested, according to Steven. Because
yes,
that breaks the spirit of the good old boy.
You cannot break the spirit. It's not to be broken.
I understand.
All
I'll
right, the first
good.
Question on Facebook comes from Ed Franks, who says, was Vic bothered by the implications of the GQ article last night, or was it just the Steelers being fired up after last week's showing? Well, that's a good question, Ed. I mean, I think Vic, whether it was the article or not, just looked bad. He looked bad. The Eagles' first-string offense looked bad. The Eagles' first-string defense looked bad. And the Pittsburgh Steelers, yeah, were probably a little embarrassed about how they played against the Washington Redskins the week before and said, let's go out and play Steeler football. And they made the Eagles look bad.
That is absolutely correct. However, not to be forgotten is the context of the day, which is what Ed's talking about, had come out earlier in the day. Was it Mike Vick had to do? I wish we had a backpedaling sound effect, Steven, because
yes,
we definitely need
he
a backpedaling sound effect.
Well, was he doing a little bit of I stepped in shaving cream, and so I need to backpedal?
Definitely.
Have a sad story to tell you.
This is Vick talking to
Michael Vick,
sideline reporter.
Hurt your feelings a bit.
Yeah, tell me, Mike.
Last
what did you
night
do?
When I walked in my
when
bathroom,
I did my GQ interview,
I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream. Be nice and clean.
When I did my GQ interview, I stepped in a big pile of shaving cream.
Yeah, he did backpedal a little bit, but you know what? You are a professional athlete.
Well, let's give the context to what he said, because, again, we got to catch everybody out who doesn't necessarily follow these things or subscribe to GQ.
All right, so Mike Vick had basically come out and said in the GQ interview that he was kind of guided towards the Philadelphia Eagles, and the commissioner approved his reinstatement if he were to sign with the Eagles.
Now, he didn't
make
it.
That was the quote. That was the comment.
He didn't say if. He didn't say if. He said
don't
that the commissioner
– go read it.
Go read it. Go find it. And I will explain a little bit more.
Okay.
So when he came out of his incarceration time and his time away to clear his head, to learn to love animals a little bit more like the rest of us and to not see them as objects of violent sporting aggression, he went and he met with a lot of advisors. He met with Tony Dungy. He met with his agent and his family. And he took under advisement a lot of what people had to say. And he was most interested in the quarterback job of the Buffalo Bills or the Cincinnati Bengals.
Yes, here is the direct quote. I didn't want to come to Philadelphia. Being a third-team quarterback is nothing to smile about.
Third-string quarterback.
Cincinnati and Buffalo were better options. Those two teams would have allowed me to start, but after meeting with Commissioner Roger Goodell and other representatives from the NFL, I was convinced and then granted league approval to sign with Philly.
After talking with them about what was best, I was convinced and then signed.
And I commend and thank them because they put me in the right situation.
Now, that part of it is silly.
They put me in the right situation.
And that's that, I believe he misspoke.
I did, because it wasn't the right situation then. You still had McNabb.
Exactly.
And then they had Cobb. So you were really coming in as the third quarterback there anyways.
Right.
And
it's a series of unfortunate events that launched him into the stage.
Yes, basically the Eagles, you know, the Eagles got beat up by the Cowboys three times with McNabb, including that including that big time loss in the playoffs.
Including two weeks in a row.
And Andy Reid was like, yeah, okay, I love Donovan McNabb, but maybe I need to make a change. So McNabb gets shipped out of town. Kevin Cobb, week one, he's the starter for the Philadelphia Eagles, and Vic is still the backup. And Kevin Cobb suffers a concussion week one against the Green Bay Packers, and lo and behold, that thrust Vic into the spotlight. He played great. The next week he started because Cobb still had the concussion and wasn't cleared to play. And then Vic played fantastic lights-out football. And then the Eagles were kind of like, yeah, maybe Kevin Cobb's not a starting quarterback anymore. And that's how Vic got the light.
And that's how Kevin Cobb ended up in Arizona.
That's exactly. So there you go. So whether he was pushed or guided or whatever by the commissioner, when you give an interview to a GQ or whatever magazine or whatever sports network interviews you, you pretty much forget it. And you don't. And then, yeah, and then what happens is people then all of a sudden get the interview and they're like, oh, man, I can't believe so-and-so said that. Oh, I can't believe. Did you hear? He said this. He said the commissioner put him in the Eagles. And then it's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. Then you got to be like, wait a minute. I sort of kind of remember that conversation. That's not what I said at all.
You go into
warning, warning, warning.
Damage control
yes,
mode. Damage control
and that,
mode.
And so he was doing some of that. But to say that that is why he
affected
threw
his performance?
Three interceptions Steven, against the Pittsburgh Steelers, I don't think so.
I believe that the second this issue of GQ, which I suspect had some things to do with the National Football League, being that it's their September issue, and on the cover is Mark
NFL
Sanchez,
preview, yes.
And there's a nice Mike Vick piece inside. So I got to think that's their NFL preview issue. So the second this hits the newsstand, the second anybody gets a hold of it, And usually, most magazines, when they know that there's going to be something controversial, they will allow certain articles to leak
absolutely.
To the media.
That's exactly what happened with this magazine.
What a coincidence.
Yeah.
To boost sales of the magazine.
Right.
So that happens, what was it, Wednesday night?
Yes.
Wednesday night, that happens. Vic's playing on Thursday. The second that hits, the second the phone rings in Jeffrey Lurie's office, Mike Vick is on the record saying that the commissioner pushed him in. Park Avenue's phones are lighting off the hook. Mike Vick's agent is calling him. Mike, we've got a problem. Be at my office in 25 minutes. Vick drops whatever he's doing, goes to his agent's office. They get on a conference call, and they start doing damage control.
Yeah.
And Vick says, and they're like, Mike, what the hell are you saying that the commissioner pushed you into this? I didn't say the commissioner pushed me into this. Well, that's sure what it sounds like in this article. And he says, what does the article say? And you said what the article says.
Yes.
And he says, well,
that's
yeah, I
meant.
You see, what happened was.
Inevitably, it all gets down to, you see, well,
what happened was.
We were
having a great time. Yeah. We were shooting hoops. The guy was recording, and I phrased it that way, but that's not what I meant.
Right. Yeah. So to answer Ed's question, to me, I don't believe that, yes, the article, he probably was thinking about it, but once he's on the football field, it's all football.
But I believe, Steven, that it was enough of a stressor, probably lost some sleep, certainly lost some prep time because of it, because you're in damage control mode.
Right.
So I do think it had a hangover effect into the game, but I also think the Steelers were so embarrassed with losing to the Redskins, and the Redskins moving the ball at will on them.
Yeah, the Steelers came out.
That the Steelers came out and said, enough, and we're going to show you what Steeler defense looks like, why we consistently go to the Super Bowl, and we're going to smack somebody in the mouth. And by the way, anyone who looks at the game film from the Eagles' last several games of the season last year knows if you come after Mike Vick, you can change some of the game dramatically.
Yeah, change a little bit.
And guess what?
Right,
I'm excited about week one, Steven, against the Rams. Because you know what? I am actually going on the record right now. I'm picking the Rams to beat the Eagles week one.
Wow.
In St. Louis.
That is a very big –
And it can't record. Be the challenge game because I get to pick the challenge game because I'm a loser.
That's right. You lost the last one. Okay.
So thanks, Ed, for that one.
That was a good one, Ed, and it leads us straight into Diego Martinez with saying, after watching Philadelphia play the second preseason game, what are your impressions of the dream team? And he's got dream team in quotes, Jeffrey. The dream team.
All right. The dream team in quotes.
Well, Diego, here's the deal. I think we still have a lot of questions about this dream team. One, can you take a whole bunch of guys and put them together and just expect
like that
to be magically a good, cohesive unit. Gelled unit?
I say, well, what happens every year in the Pro Bowl? Guys usually look pretty good. They play a vanilla kind of game, and there's some pretty magical football that takes place.
You know what I noticed in this preseason, Jeffrey?
What?
Speaking, because you said vanilla.
Yeah.
There hasn't been a whole lot of vanilla.
Oh, no.
There hasn't been. Usually it's like the first couple preseason games, there's a lot of vanilla defenses, a lot of just basic coverages. No, people are sending blitzes.
Well, some teams are.
Blitzing here.
Think about what Rob Ryan did with the Cowboys week one, Steven.
Yeah, he pulled back a lot.
He pulled back a lot until it came to goal line.
And then
it was like, you know what? I don't really want to score. I'm the new defensive coordinator. Guys, we're going to go with our special package.
our special package.
Is not vanilla. And vanilla, by the way, Stephen, is artificial vanilla. And a lot of people don't know that that's what it's called. Okay. It's vanilla. You want the good stuff, the vanilla extract.
But there hasn't been a lot. But, Diego, to answer your question, I think that there's still a lot of questions that the Philadelphia Eagles need to answer.
I would put the question, especially in offensive line.
Well, that's one. Are they going to be able to protect Mike Vick? And two, you know, Deshaun's missed a lot of time. Macklin still isn't on the field. Those wide receivers look suspect. One out of the three picks was a wide receiver just dropping the ball and landing in the Steelers' hands.
Right.
So the other two picks were
We had a tip ball.
Yeah.
And that was the one that Polamalu got because it was in the air 3 seconds. And everyone knows that a ball in the air for 3 seconds for Polamalu, no matter where he is on the field, it's my ball. And then Vic took out his very aggressive tackle.
So what is your impression?
On Troy Polamalu.
That's what Diego wants. Your impression.
I'm sorry, I don't do impressions. My specialty is psychiatry.
Oh, I see.
But Bob, I've always loved that joke. Could you give us your impression of that? That's from Airplane.
Yeah, here's my impression.
I'm sorry, I don't do impressions. I'm an oncologist.
I'll do my impression of James Earl Jones as Mufasa in the Lion King.
Oh, God. That's definitely what someone asked for.
Oh, is that what he wanted? I thought he wanted the impression.
I think Rome Young may have asked that question as his follow-up.
Rome Young.
In case we didn't
no
get to
follow-ups
it.
For anybody. My impression is, there's questions to be answered there.
Definitely.
Mark Richardson, Terrell Pryor,
hey,
fair
Mark.
Treatment by
sorry,
the
love
NFL
Mark.
Or harsh?
I'm sorry, I was talking over you because I was saying hey to Mark.
He says, Terrell Pryor, fair treatment by the NFL or harsh treatment? I fall in the middle. I do believe it is a little harsh. I think the league needed to do something. Yes, it was necessary, but 5 games, whew. I mean, if you saw today's 5-minute football fix, Jeff, I mean, I'm thinking axe murderers can get in, right?
When that axe dropped on the screen, it scared me. And I knew it was coming. Okay, so people just behind the scenes of the Rave Cave, there's a green screen behind us, and that's where the images go to.
Yes.
So we don't see the images till after the show's done.
Right. Yes.
It's usually an hour before we're ready to see what we recorded.
Something, and then people put
and we have an idea of what's going to be up there, like the Bill Belichick thing that's supposedly killed.
Right.
I had no idea that the image that was going to be up there was going to look so similar to how I was positioned.
Yes.
But I just positioned myself like Bill Belichick. So we don't know what image is going to be on the screen. And so I knew there was going to be a bloody axe on the screen because we had talked about it. It's like an axe murder. And I'm like, that would be funny. But then when I'm watching it, I was horrified to see this bloody axe dropped in there. I'm like, whoa, where did that come from?
That was pretty. That was
anyway.
Pretty
you know that an issue is emotionally charged when you come down on both sides of it.
Right.
You know what? Because I completely agree that there is some sense in which it appears that the NCAA and the NFL have just kind of done this bizarre merger.
Yeah.
And it's like the NFL is fully embracing the fact that, no, they are our minor league system. They're our farm league. And so, we should probably start paying these guys. But that nothing can be further from the truth. But at one slant, it certainly looks like that.
Right.
And the other side is just simply, look, I was a college football player who got busted for breaking many rules and doing many pretty slimy things, selling stuff on eBay and junk that's like memorabilia.
Yeah.
And I got busted for that, and I basically am told that I'm not going to be able to play most of the next football season. So you know what I'm going to do to avoid my punishment is I'm going to go join the NFL and get paid real money and escape punishment. And what Commissioner Goodell's doing in the NFL is saying, look, you don't dodge punishments like that by hiding in the NFL.
Yeah.
If we knew what Reggie Bush had done, trust me, he would have been suspended many games before he had started his NFL career. I promise you. But that didn't come out till afterwards. Yeah, we know this ahead of time.
But he was already playing in the league.
So you could not do much about
it.
Should they have
out.
Retrospectively done something? Probably.
Yeah.
If they want to be consistent, I think they should.
I think they should have. They were like, wow, Reggie, we didn't know that about you. We let you into this league thinking you were a nice, clean dude.
No, they let him in under a veil of suspicion, frankly. it was rumor. Anybody who lived in the L.A. area certainly knew that there was many, many things that looked a little fishy.
All right.
So that's a question from Mark. And, Mark, good talking with you, and I look forward to seeing you in October. So,
but anyways, to further that question, Terrell Pryor is eligible for the supplemental draft. He is in there. He is probably going to wind up with a team like the Cleveland Browns.
Let's see. How many of these 32 teams need a quarterback? About 12 of them.
Yeah, there you go.
And the supplemental draft was postponed because of this and is now scheduled for Monday.
Damian Briggs asks, does Chad Henne have a future in Miami? If he would like to stay and live in the city of Miami, yeah, his future is yes. But
he can live. It's America, dude.
It
you
is.
Can live wherever you want.
You can.
This is not Russia.
In this country, you can live wherever you want. And he might possibly have a future in Miami if he wishes to live there.
And even own a sports bar.
As a football player for the Miami Dolphins, I think he is on a very, very short leash skating on thin ice. It's way for thin.
Warning, warning, warning.
Yeah, it's way
He for has thin. A future, and his future is, I believe, in 5 hours from now, where he will be under center and starting for the Miami Dolphins against the Carolina Panthers.
If he does not look
He's going to start. What's
decent.
His future? His future is 5 hours from now.
If he does not look decent against the Carolina defense, he may not even be the starter come week one.
Miami will finally go get Kyle Orton.
They'll go do something. They'll be a little late for Orton. Denver's already
Damn
taking
it.
Him off the
Can
table.
Can we have Tebow? Wait, we don't want Tebow.
Darn it. Who else? You know who has? They might just go up Florida a little bit to Tampa Bay. I like their second string quarterback there, Josh.
Oh, you're talking about Josh Johnson. Johnson.
They're both Josh.
Johnson.
So I guess Josh Freeman, Josh Johnson. And Josh Johnson is looking pretty good.
Well, remember, before Josh Freeman took the reins of that team
yes.
and firmly put them in his hands and started grinding in on that horse with his heels, there was a quarterback battle.
Yeah, there was.
And they were flipping
starts. It was the
starts,
battle of the Joshes.
And they were flipping starts, and they both looked okay.
I'm kind of trying to look to see who else has maybe a
Oh, dude, there's a lot
QB.
Of great backup quarterbacks. How about Green Bay, where Matt Flynn's going to be
right.
a free agent at the end of the year? So Matt Flynn, mark my words, will be traded before he's allowed to become a free agent. Mm-hmm. Because, he looks fantastic. And then Hoyer in New England looks terrific. There's so much good quarterback. Pittsburgh, Byron Leftwich looked fantastic.
He did look pretty
last
good.
Night. Even Dennis Dixon looked good. So, come on. There is a lot of good quarterbacks, but none of them are starters, and hardly any of them are available. And I think some people need to go start talking to some people about talking to some people. That's what I think.
Okay. So there is the future of Henne in
Was
Miami.
Lister Drew, right?
Damian Penny.
Damian Briggs.
Damian Briggs.
Damian
Briggs. Barry Jones has a less generic question.
Okay. Yeah, go ahead, BR.
He says the 5 yards closer seems to mean that kickers are landing it about 10 yards plus deeper in the end zone. Is there a stringent win that we don't know about? That's a very good question. I mean, if you only come up 5, the math seems that if you generally land the ball around the 1 or 2, it would only be about 3 yards deep, right?
Okay, that math. However, what if you typically land the ball at the goal line, at the -1, at the -2? all those balls get brought out in years gone by.
That's right.
Unless
that's
you're
right.
incompetent. Yeah. If you have an incompetent returner. So most balls were landing around there, and guys were bringing
one,
them out.
The goal line, the one, or the two.
Now my perspective is they're going further into the back of the end zone, which is the 8 yards back.
Yeah, the Bucks. The what was the game that was on TV last night? Pittsburgh-Philadelphia
Pittsburgh-Philly.
The Joe Buck, Terry Bradshaw.
First of
Troy
all, that's
Aikman.
An announcing nightmare. Never do that again. Never do that again. I could barely watch the game. They were so annoying.
They were just ripping on the touchback fiasco that
it's
was happening.
So lame.
Yeah.
We've taken one of the most exciting games in football and taken it away in the name of player safety. And I think there was three guys hurt last year
on kick returns. I don't like Joe Buck, but he had the line probably of the preseason. After the Steelers scored their second touchdown to make it 14-0, they're heading to commercial. And he's like, Steelers up 14-0, and we'll be back,
when we come back
with an exciting touchback.
Joe has some good lines, deadpan occasionally.
Exciting touchback. And
you know what will happen after the exciting touchback? We'll go to commercial
again.
We'll
go to commercial
again. Why don't you just take a really long break and show us them at the 20?
Yeah.
And then we can all take a proper bathroom break, get a beer, and come back to our chair.
Come back.
Kiss the wife and come back.
There you go. I don't know about a stronger win, but I do agree with Jeff that a lot of the kicks that were generally landed at the goal line, the inside the 1 yard deep, 2 yard deep, even 3 yards deep, those kicks were generally returned.
Yeah.
Now they're landing 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, even 9 yards. I've seen a lot of dudes kicking right out of the back of the end zone.
But I have seen one or two kickers still not get it into the end zone.
And those guys probably won't have a job come September 8th.
And I also believe that this rule will be with us for one season only.
And that's it.
Because it's unfortunate that you can't throw the rule out right now because too many teams have not practiced that part of their special teams play.
Right.
Because there's been no reason to because of this rule change that has been brought in by the competition committee. And you just can't change the rule willy-nilly. You have to actually have an offseason for teams to be able to prepare properly. So, unfortunately, that rule will be with us this year, which sucks. Next.
Next question comes from Thomas Hooch. Hooch. And Thomas says, Wade Phillips worked as the Texas defensive coordinator. Looks quite amazing to me as they really played well against my beloved Jets, especially considering the very short time he's had to prepare in a very and the very weak performances in the past of the Texans defense. How do you think about it? How do
misplaced
I think about
modifier.
It?
Misplaced modifier alert.
Oh, Steven. Why in the world did it not work with your Cowboys? Because he was the head coach. He wasn't the defensive coordinator. There is a big difference between being just the coordinator and just focused about the defensive side of the ball and being the head coach and being focused with your entire football team. There is a
the difference is night and day. They really have nothing in common. I mean, the only thing they have in common is we're talking about football and we are talking about one side of the ball.
Right. And you got to remember, too, that last year, even though Wade was the head coach and he was involved with the defense, they actually had a defensive coordinator as well. So they had a defensive coordinator, offensive coordinator was Jason Garrett, and then he was the head coach. So Wade, even though he had his hands on the defense, wasn't the complete mastermind of the defense for the Cowboys.
Not by any stretch of the imagination.
Now that he is just the defensive coordinator for Houston, I totally expect that defense to rock.
There are many great coordinators in the league that have not made great head coaches. And that there's nothing to be ashamed of with being a great coordinator. I mean, seriously, that is we've got Munchak going on. I'm thinking of Perry Fuel, who's proving that, you know, he may not have been a good coach of
the
Buffalo Bills. But now that he's the defensive coordinator out with Pete Carroll in Seattle.
Right.
I mean, look, it's just, it's different. And these guys, what they bring is a very, it's not a narrow skill set. Narrow skill set are position coaches.
Right.
That is a narrow skill set. Okay, I'm a quarterback coach. I'm the running back coach. I'm the wide receiver coach. And they do have coaches for all those things.
Yes.
A coordinator is taking 11 starters and a whole bunch of other guys that they work into packages and formulating entire schemes and ways to defeat the other team with their particular skill set. And it is not a put down in any way to not be able to pull off being a head coach. It takes a very special skill set.
All right. Manny is asking the following, Jeff. He says, how will the Jets favor the in the passing game this season with pretty much an entire new setup at wide receiver?
Boom.
He's got a good question there. There's only Santonio Holmes returned. Coach Harry's gone.
Hey, Coach Harry looked good.
He did look good with the Steelers. Braylon Edwards in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
So we got a whole bunch of new guys to catch the rock. Derek Mason, Plaxico Burress, which Burress will be debuting.
Making his debut tonight.
That's a very good question. I still
and that
think
game is not on NFL Network till Tuesday night or Tuesday afternoon at 1 o'clock.
I'm sorry. I just watched them online now.
I know you watch them online now. And if you have Game Pass, you can do that. And if you've paid for, that's in the UK. And if you're in the US, you pay for the $19 to watch things.
All the
and I've done that too, and that's fantastic. But if you are stuck with NFL Network and their replays,
yeah, you have to record
Tuesday at 1 o'clock, folks, I had to actually do a search in my program guide to find it.
Do you need a hug?
No, I'm just annoyed that it's not. They don't just run them back to back. They'll run the same one game five times before they ever show the game that they haven't shown yet.
I'm sure there are some contractual obligations with the networks that are broadcasting those games.
Well, that's bunk because it should be all about the fans.
Okay, Jeffrey. To answer Manny's question, I think more of the question should be focused more towards Mark Sanchez.
Exactly.
Mark Sanchez is what's going to make that offense go. If he is on throwing the rock, he is on, baby.
And it doesn't matter whom he's throwing to. It really
but
doesn't.
There are some times where the brother just
is off. And when he's off, it doesn't matter who he's throwing to either.
Exactly.
Because those missiles are going to fly.
Right. So there you go. I think it's more on Mark Sanchez. Manny got another question.
Manny, don't double dip.
Well, let's double dip
it's anyway. Like this guy.
Strolling through the kitchen, and what do you find? A bunch of knives cold staring at you. So,
knives.
Kids, don't play with too many knives. Come on.
Too many knives. Too many questions.
Well,
you can't have too many questions.
Well, one more.
All right.
I just want to answer this one. Mostly because it talks about Jeffrey, one of the teams that we'd like to make fun
of. Well, if it's a team we'd like to make fun of and give them their little rawness that's uniquely NFL.
He's got
I'm
a
loving the Evil Empire this
about
year, by the
Empire.
Way.
Oh
love
my
them.
God. Is it going to be one of your teams?
No, I can't. No, I could never cross that bridge. That'd be like me becoming a Boston Red Sox fan. Come on.
I can never cross that bridge. He says, who is most likely to annoy the Evil Empire first, Ocho Cinco or Fat Albert? Did you watch Ocho Cinco yesterday?
God, he looked good.
Brother is happy. Brother scored a touchdown pass and just dropped the ball at the ref's feet and just went to the sideline. The brother is all about, you know what? His stock has risen
dramatically. And the ball he didn't catch at midfield, that was
only
because
he got destroyed.
Hit. Vicious, illegal hit.
Yeah.
And I'm glad that we're actually clamping down on some of those. I don't want to see guys catching balls they shouldn't catch uncontested, but that was ridiculous. He got almost killed on that play.
I am going to say that it would Fat Albert for me. I mean, that's
– I agree with you, Steven. I'm going to go a different direction. I'm going to say possibly the New York Jets.
the
really,
Jets are going to annoy them first?
It's only their history, Steven, that can get in the way of them. And God forbid that they should face the San Diego Chargers in the playoffs or something because they are looking so unbelievable this year that I don't even think anything bums them out. And they've proven that they don't even need Tom Brady necessarily this year, but I'm glad they have him, and I think he's going to do fantastically for them. And I have them in the Super Bowl if they can get past those little playoff runs that they seem to struggle.
Early Super Bowl prediction? We haven't even done our prediction show
yet. Why wouldn't you do the dynasty team that just continues to look amazing as ever?
Okay.
Why would you all not right. go
well,
with the hot hand?
Here we have a question.
We won 14
from
games last
Bob
year.
Bob Santa Lucia. What a name. Santa
awesome.
Lucia. Bob, with his great last name, says, should people put their trust in Pocket Hercules? Because if Jacksonville starts a rookie at QB and they have real no threat at wide receiver, isn't every team just going to stack the box?
Sorry, I didn't boom you. I didn't know that your question was over.
Well, it's a multiple, it's
multifaceted
question,
and it's like just a fine diamond.
It's good. Pocket Hercules is MJD.
Yep.
Maurice Jones-Drew. Oompa Loompa.
Fantasy football god.
He is.
I mean, literally on the other side is an owner. The guy knows fantasy football better than any of us.
Here is a question where, if you look at it, it is quite possible. And it leads to the next question, which is from Henry Cheese.
Cheese. Cheese. Sorry.
Henry Cheese asked, Gabbert or Gerard? So these two questions, we're going to put them together. Boom. And here it is. If you start Gabbert, people might stack the box and try and stop Maurice Jones-Drew.
Correct.
Here's the problem, though. Sometimes stacking the box against Oompa Loompa Maurice Jones-Drew is a good thing for MJD because he is so small, he gets in behind blockers.
Good luck seeing him.
And the next thing you know, where did he come from? And he's right by you. Okay? So I don't know if teams are ready to play him that way.
Anybody who knows anything about football knows that stacking the box only works if those guys that are in the box have a plan. Not just can tackle, but don't just go into this herd mentality of 5-year-olds playing soccer.
Yeah.
Where they just bumblebee towards the ball. And you know what happens? Any quarterback has a check down, has an emergency hot route. And in the event of an all-out blitz and everybody going towards him, his hot guy is wide open. Yes. And now he is at the second level. You do a dump-off pass, and he runs to tomorrow.
I like MJD. If I'm at the spot where I'm going to be in a couple drafts this week where I think I've got like the third or fourth pick, I'm going to have that option.
Sure.
MJD is going to be the guy. I'm pretty sure Foster will be gone. I'm pretty sure Peterson will be gone. And then I'll have to decide Johnson, Ray Rice, or MJD.
Or MJD, right?
Yeah.
And I might just get in MGD and just not even worry about it. Miller Genuine Draft.
There you go. And as far as the quarterback, Gabbert or Gerard, I think it's Gerard's team. But if Gabbert continues to show.
Sprinkle in some Gabbert.
If he continues to show competency at the quarterback position, why not? He's your future.
And he is the reason that you took him in the first round and surprised the heck out of me. Made me look a little silly. I said there's going to be so many quarterbacks taken, and they went and took an extra one. Freaked me out.
Extra one. Okay, the only other question, it's not even really a question. They're just informing us, and this is from Otero on Twitter. He's saying, did you know Drew Pearson, Charles Haley, and Larry Ellen will be inducted into the Cowboys Ring of Honor? Of course I knew that.
Of course I didn't know that. Oh, I have to answer truthfully.
Okay. Well, Jeff didn't know, but I did. Drew Pearson, long overdue, deserved to be in there a long time ago, old wide receiver. Charles Haley and Larry Allen from those Super Bowl teams of the 90s, good for them. They get to join Emmett Troy and Michael Irvin.
The enshrinement in the Ring of Honor. The thing I most remember and appreciate about the opening of Cowboys Stadium was not the Ring of Honor ceremony, which was neat. It was the star getting uncovered.
Yeah, that
there were some little goosebumps going on there. That was pretty freaking cool. They had it all covered up, and then there was the explosions and the fireworks, and then the star. Oh,
yes, and
they
kind of just
that was awesome. Ring of Honor was cool.
Yeah, the Ring of Honor was cool. Opening day of Cowboy Stadium was really good. I'm glad that we were there.
You know, we should call just like the Dallas Cowboys cheerleaders. The often imitated, never duplicated, but now often imitated, frequently duplicated Ring of Honor. Another one just opened this last week, Stephen.
Where?
I don't remember. I've seen so many preseason games I can't even count.
Another Ring of
Honor. It's like the opening the new Ring of Honor at Raymond James Stadium. Man, da, 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 da. It's like, seriously? Everyone's got to copy this thing? Whatever Dallas does, we got to copy.
Well, you know, got to.
I didn't want to tell you that, Mr. Way
Today
Too.
Today we salute you, Mr. Way Too Proud of Texas Guy. Mr. Way Too
Proud. So.
Okay.
That being said, Mr. Way Too Proud of Texas Guy.
All right. Well, I thought we had more questions that we would take us. Wait a minute.
What the heck's wrong with these people?
I don't know. I thought people were going to ask.
There's a billion questions.
Are there a billion questions?
Rome Young better not have to show up again because he sucks.
Well, Rome Young is showing up. We allowed Manny two questions. We allowed Manny two questions. We should allow Rome Young two questions.
Okay, well, the one he was going to ask was...
Well,
Rome... Oh, you don't care, do you? You no. don't care about the one that he was going to ask. Because I was him, and when I was him, that was fine. But now it's you. Now it's a totally different story.
Rome
Why
Young...
Why doesn't Bree Rome Ware ask his own question?
Bree Rome Ware?
Out the door.
I don't see Altidore.
Is Altidore not up? What happened to Josie? He's back there.
Oh, okay.
He's hurt anyways.
All right.
Altidore.
Rome wants to know, how are the Giants going to deal with OCU Manure missing time for his surgery? That's a great question.
So how OCU Manure, how do I deal with surgery? I lay in bed, and I let people wait on me, and I watch TV, and I play video games. There's a new Angry Birds Rio has been updated again.
Oh, God.
And so there's 15 new levels. I'm only 3-starred through the first 9. And number 10 really has my panties in a whirl.
I need a loser sound or something.
You could do.
Yeah.
That's pretty bad.
Are you kidding me? Angry Birds. Can we get the
You really don't know. You really don't.
OCU Manure. Basically, it's come out that he needs surgery on his knee. He held out. I want to get traded.
That's right.
I want a new contract. I want this. I want that. And then they're like,
Daddy, I want a pony.
You're not going to get a pony.
Daddy, I want a pony.
You're not going to get this. You're not going to get
Daddy,
that.
Daddy, I want a goose who lays golden eggs.
And then he finally comes and he's like, practice. And he's going to practice. And he practices for 3 days. And then all of a sudden he's like, yeah, my knee's not so good. I need to go have surgery.
No, my knee's not so good. I'm going to miss a few practices. Amos is a few practices.
Yes.
And then people are like, really, the knee thing? Really?
And then now, really? Basically,
well, yeah,
he
really.
Called general manager Jerry Reese, and he says, I think I'm going to have surgery on my knee, and I need to do this now because there's swelling in my knee. And if I could probably go this season with it, but I'll have to like miss practices. And
but
I
you
won't
didn't
be
pay me
go.
What I wanted to be paid.
Yeah,
so guess what?
Now
I'm gonna go under the knife.
And now he's originally they said 3 to 4 weeks, so he'd be ready for the regular season. Now we're getting reports that dude's gonna miss maybe 6 to 8 weeks. Is that what?
Six to eight weeks is what we're hearing.
That is a very long time. Oh, my gosh. James alert.
All right. Now, James doesn't know that this is, he just showed up from school.
He did just
school
show up.
Just let out. How was your day, dear?
My day was awesome, dear. Thank you.
Your day was awesome? How come?
My day was awesome. My schedule, I really can't complain about it. It's just overall, it's a pretty good schedule. It's my senior year, so.
Okay. Now, I don't think you're coming through your mic or anything like that.
You're not coming. I don't think
so. I'll fix that. And you're going to have to answer this question because, Steven, inform him what this show has been all about.
This question
because we've
has been all about
this
answering.
Question.
This show has been all about answering questions from our listeners. They have posted them on Facebook and Twitter. And now, does he get to ask a question?
He is forced to ask a
you
question.
You are forced to ask a question about stuff that is happening in the National Football League today. Go.
All right, give me a second to think about
that.
No.
What is your
And
question?
It could be about fantasy football. It could be about anything. Because remember, James is all about fantasy football these days.
Okay.
Come on, Zuka. This is live radio, man. There's no time. There's no dead air.
Yeah, we can't
no panic.
Have dead air.
Let's Maranatha see. High
right,
School boy.
Ready?
Is
question
dress code.
Now. Oh, come on.
Okay. When do I have to start actually paying attention to my fantasy team?
OMG. G.
OMG. Keep the microphone, James. He wants to put it down and just go to work or go to the bathroom. Yeah. I can't tell which one. You can laugh. Laughing's okay. See, Steven, it took him 2 years to figure out that laughing is good radio. And that pulling there it away go. For laughter is bad radio. People want to hear that there's fun going on. Spontaneity, joy, life coming out. So, James, that's why would that be a dumb question? Think about it.
Well,
because you should be focusing on your fantasy football team all the time.
24/7.
Isn't it? Live it. Breathe it. Sleep it.
Especially you with the absolute awful draft.
You have no running backs.
You need to go and make trades. You need to scour the waiver wire. You need to figure out what you need to do with your team.
Don't I need to wait till the regular season starts?
No! You need to be watching all the preseason games and figuring out how you're going to fix your running back problem.
I like that guy. I need to go make a trade for
him. There's been at least two games that have been played that have shown that there is a certain player yet to be named who is going to be a stud running back this year that is probably out there on waiver wires. You know you can pick up waivers right now.
He's not because I've already picked him up.
Oh!
See? Don't blow everybody up here. You're not on a limiter, James.
That's what I'm telling you. You got to be because I'm going to be there picking people up. So you got to go pick people up.
Oh,
snap. See?
But you wouldn't know who it was anyways because how many preseason games have you seen?
Zero.
All right. Now, today was the second day of school.
Yes.
And if your schedule's anything like Jordan's, it's a little on the soft side. You're getting senioritis, apparently.
It is significantly on the soft side.
Except for your graphics design class.
Except for my graphics design class.
AP graphics design? Friends, when I was your age, the only AP classes were classes you would actually potentially take your freshman year in college. And graphics design is not one of them. These are general ed classes that you basically took in high school so you wouldn't have to take them in college.
The purpose of a AP graphic design class,
that
as you said,
the question.
As you said, most are general ed classes like U.S. history
exactly.
or world history. The purpose of an AP graphics design or AP studio art would be to have a more significant or more professionally put together and professionally judged portfolio if you want to get into a specialty school.
Got it.
So
that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. A place like Art Center, you know.
Absolutely.
You have to have a portfolio to get
there,
in.
By the way. Did you know that?
Really?
Steve has worked everywhere. You knew that.
I know people.
James,
there.
Like,
get the hookups. Get the hookups.
I know people.
James,
there
we will get you into Art Center. You just do your job here and make our little movies and make them cute.
Yeah.
So the answer to your question, James, thanks for playing, is that you should be paying attention to your fantasy football team 24/7.
Okay, Jeffrey, this is another question that I wish our listeners would have asked. So DeJellis Favre is asking this question. And DeJellis Favre says, why is Carson Palmer upset at the Cincinnati Bengals right now?
Because they suck. Okay, now Carson Palmer gave them the best years of his life.
Yeah.
He is like a woman scorned. A woman who has come into her own very late in life and blossomed. And now
she got dumped for a young, hot, redheaded 24-year-old.
I don't know if he's hot, but he is redheaded.
I mean, just smoking.
Well, I thought you were talking about Carson's replacement there at Cincinnati.
No, I'm just, you said that he's like the wife, the woman scorned. So
I thought
you
were talking about the kid in Cincinnati.
Well, he does have red hair. That is the only comparison
that
I can make.
Yeah, I thought that's what
you
were making.
No, I'm just saying the wife is, she gets mad because she gets replaced by the
No, Carson just really, and then he got injured there and was never the same after that.
Here's,
and he became part of the problem, I think, in Cincinnati.
Here's what's being reported is that Carson Palmer told his friend that the Bengals are toying with his younger brother, Jordan Palmer. They're not, they're giving him very limited reps, and they expect that he will be cut, but way too late to sign anywhere else.
Newsflash, Carson, nobody's very interested in your brother. And I don't mean this in a mean way at all. But half of Carson Palmer is pretty much what you get with his brother. And Carson Palmer, there's a reason that if they were to release you, if Mike Brown were to actually eat crow, which is never going to happen, you would still have trouble catching on with the team. Because although Matt Hasselbeck, I must say, has looked pretty good in Tennessee.
Yeah.
I've seen some of the youthfulness out of him. Donovan McNabb. It's been fun to see that big arm unleashed up there in Minnesota. I don't know how well Carson has much good football left.
I've got a question for Mr. Palmer, and this would be Carson, not Jordan. One, look, man, let your brother take care of himself, first of all. Don't be coming in.
Well, I mean, what if they were trying to use him?
Nah, I don't.
But what if you believe that? Then wouldn't you come to his defense? It's your younger brother, and you feel like they're screwing him on purpose.
Okay, then you come out and make the statement.
Yeah.
Don't tell it to a friend and then have that friend come out and tell it to a news source.
Hey, Steven, well, you know what, can you tell Susie to tell Jenny that I like
that's
her?
That's exactly what's going on. The dude is playing like he's in high school. He's playing high school football.
You don't do that
he's
in high
like,
school.
Yo, can you go tell
I did that in
girl,
fifth grade.
Cheerleader, you know, I like her, and if she wants to
well,
go
I might like her if she likes me.
Yeah. I might like her if she likes me, exactly. Come on, man. Man, first of all, are you retired yet? I ain't seeing you fill out your retirement paperwork and fill it out to the league.
He isn't.
So
all he's done is sell a house.
if you're not playing football for the Cincinnati Bengals anymore. You need to decide what it is you're doing. And look, the team doesn't want you because you don't want them. Then just part ways and leave him alone. What happens with your brother? If he's still there playing football, let him stay there and play football.
And if he's getting paid the league minimum, which this year is $500,000, to not get enough reps?
If I were Jordan, I'd be like, yo, Carson, you don't
got
to do me any
Shut
favors,
up.
Man, okay? All right? If I stay and be the third-string quarterback, then that's what I am.
Yeah.
You don't need to be making a stink saying.
I'm making pretty decent bling doing it, by
Hello?
The way.
Hello? Leave
now,
me alone. I like to be – I am trying to catch the premier clipboard holder in the league, which is Matt Leinart.
And Matt
Leinart
is starting to look a little better than me, so I got some catching up to do. And if you undercut me, then who's going to want me?
The premier clipboard holder in the league.
Matt Leinart.
Okay, so there you go. That's all we've got, buddy. I don't have any more questions unless –
This has been the question show. James,
unless,
you got any new questions?
Quoi Lomlinson.
Our great Muo quote.
Quoi Lomlinson.
Quoi Lomlinson might have
yes.
something.
Quoi Lomlinson. Jeffrey is asking about Tim Tebow and the reports that there was a $5,000 bounty on his head when he played
yes.
at the University of Florida. And apparently this Miami booster was offering $5,000 to knock Tebow out of the game.
Not just to knock him out of the game, but to knock him around.
Knock him out. Knock him. Get him.
Just mess him up. Get
Tebow.
His head.
Tebow said, or reports say that Tebow was amused yet a little disturbed by the reports.
I disagree. I saw the press. I saw the presser, Steven.
He said
he was not disturbed. He was amused.
He said,
confused, I would say.
He
but
said,
not.
I didn't know about that bounty. It's funny, though. He says it was a fun game. I remember that. It was the only game I played against the Canes. It was a lot of fun. Good memories from that game. But I don't know. A bounty? Really?
That's okay. It. So now, according to the Kansas City Star, to update our earlier story as we are getting ready to go, breaking news.
Ooh, what happened?
You have to wait till the boom booms. Boom, boom, boom. Boom, boom. All right. There's nothing on KansasCityChiefs.com about this. And Baldwin, who is basically quite a Twitterer guy, has been very quiet on Twitter. So these silences are rather loud.
Well, how do you expect and him to type with one hand busted hand?
it's hard to tweet with one hand, man. The Chiefs will formally address the Jonathan Baldwin, Thomas Jones fight situation following Friday night's preseason game.
Oh, let's wait.
There's a reason to tune in.
There's
a reason to tune in. I suspect we might have an announcement that someone's being cut. I don't know.
No,
you've paid him too much money.
He's the 26th pick
well,
overall.
As a result, they've only paid him $2 million guaranteed.
Well, there
in
you go.
In years gone by, you would have been in for $10 million.
Something like that, yes.
But that will be addressed as soon as the game is over. So there's a good reason to tune in for preseason football because it sure has been a lot of fun.
And if you want to watch some preseason football.
What does that mean? That
mean this, no, I'm sorry. Not, I didn't mean preseason. I meant a pre-practice preseason football. That's what I'm looking for.
Okay, I still don't understand. So that's good.
Pre-practice preseason football. If you go to DallasCowboys.com, you can watch the Chargers and the Cowboys practicing right now. As
what
speak.
Do they have the crane shot on they, live?
No, they've got them. I mean, they're showing
really?
You a game of practice. I mean, I've been watching it.
How many
the whole
cameras?
Show.
I'm watching. That's why this show's been so bad.
I answered everyone's question. That was my job. You gave me one job to do today, and it's answer everybody's question that asked a question today. I can't help it. There were more questions. You're going to blame. So you are the kind of guy that kills the messenger.
Shoot the executioner.
shoot the execution.
So anyways, how many cameras, Steven?
There's only one camera.
Okay,
and
well, that's
right
lame.
Now they're doing
I'm
a,
saying,
they're
is it
doing
the crane shot?
Zone.
Is it the overhead?
No, it's like live.
It's a handheld?
It's like a, no. Well, I don't know if it's being held out or not.
That's what I'm trying to figure out what the heck's going on.
It's from the field. It's like if you were watching a football
is
game.
Is it on a trolley then, probably going up and down?
I don't know. Right now, it's on. It's two cameras.
Okay.
Because they just switched
thank
to another
you.
One. There's two cameras. And right now, they're doing the Chargers started at the 10-yard line in the red zone trying to score, and the Cowboys are holding them. It's third down.
This is live?
Live. I'm watching right now. It's
do
third
know,
down.
Do you
Phillip
know that
Rivers.
It's 12:30 in the afternoon there in the heat?
It's
are they
lot.
Outdoors or are they back indoors?
No.
Is there shadows?
They're back indoors. They're
okay.
Back indoors.
I mean, Phillip,
Rivers,
we talked-
Phillip Rivers! Phillip Rivers! Throw the ball into the end zone and complete.
Yeah. Yesterday when we had on the show from the Dallas
David
Morning
Moore
News.
From the Dallas Morning News.
That was the first camp outside, and they worked out in the morning, and then they were all done.
I suspect Turner went back to the Cowboys and was like, excuse me, could we practice inside?
Turner sent somebody because he was sucking on. He had an IV hooked up
let's
to him.
Said the practice is inside. Anyways, thank you, everybody, for all of your questions. They were very insightful. We were able to answer all of them for you, and hopefully next time we do a crazy show like this.
We'll give you some notice that it's actually coming, so you could actually fill the queue.
That's right. We'll have more questions.
Instead, we were going to have a micro-celebrity alert this morning on the 5-Minute Football Fix.
Yeah, and it changed into
and
a
and the show filled
questions.
So quickly, as Steve and I were talking about what we should talk about, the show filled immediately, and I was like, oh, I shouldn't have posted that question. And so we just left it as hangover from that. But come check us out on Facebook, Twitter, on the website.
That's
check
right.
out the YouTube vids. Have fun.
It's, and the 5-Minute Football Fixes, if you have not seen them.
And if you have, come back because they've gotten better. We're
they
really working
gotten,
hard. James has gone back
better.
To school, so we're
yes.
doing more of the editing ourselves.
Yes.
And no longer is James in there screwing things up.
Poor Kenny's back there laughing.
He's cracking up.
And
being thrown under
time.
The bus.
All right, this has been Steven Randa.
And Jeff Ellis.
For NFL Rants and Raves. Out!